With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Seriously, the podcast from The New Statesman that takes pop culture seriously.
I'm Caroline Crampton.
And I'm Anna Leskovich. This week, we're talking about the new Netflix drama Glow and a web series called Fantasies.
We've also watched the millennial crime drama Search Party for the first time, so we'll be talking about how that went later in the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to another episode of Seriously, which is in fact the 99th episode of Seriously. We're really getting through them, aren't we?
I know, who would have thought we'd still be doing this, what, like 2.5 years later or however long it is?
I know, that's amazing. And that means that our next episode is our 100th episode. And we do have a really exciting surprise coming up for the 100th episode. It might even arrive a little earlier than usual in your podcast apps. So keep your eyes peeled in the next few days for a very special 100th episode of Seriously. It's something we've actually been requested by listeners to do very regularly. So
pretty much as long as this podcast has existed, you've been asking us to do this. So
get excited.
Make sure you're subscribed. You don't want to miss it. It's coming early. Oh, another update we need to do is we've got loads of exciting events happening.
Ooh, events.
Yeah, so Game of Thrones quiz on the 11th of July is sold out, but you can get on a waiting list at seriouslypod.com/events. But there are two other things where there are tickets available. One is the Shout Out Podcast Festival on the 5th of August. I'm really excited about this one because loads of like amazing shows.
I know.
Even from America, like Another Round are coming all the way from America to perform this.
I really hope we get to see Another Round.
And we're going to be there as well. So you can buy tickets for that at seriouslypod.com/shoutout. And I believe there's a special code. If you put seriously number 5, I think you get money off.
Woo-hoo.
So definitely do that. And then we're also going to be at the London Podcast Festival, 17th of September, which is a Sunday, doing a live episode with some guests we haven't thought of yet, but it's going to be great. And yeah, that's also tickets for that very much on sale. Please buy them. seriouslypod.com/London Podfest.
Exciting. On to the emails. We love your emails. Jennifer got in touch with the subject line, "Oh my Lord!" exclamation mark. She says she's a long-time listener, first-time emailer, and she says, "Thank you for the Lord recommendation in your last episode. I've been listening to Melodrama pretty much on repeat since. I didn't think I'd like her music, but your review persuaded me to give it a listen, and I'm glad I did." So that's great. We've got a new Lord fan, thanks to Seriously, doing the Lord's work. Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah, B is also emailing to pick up on our review of Lord in the last episode. She writes, "Emailing to gush about Lord record with you and to say how delightful your last week's fangirling was. The one song that really resonated with me from the record was Hard Feelings.
Mm.
I feel like it's such a perfect breakup song for when breakup just comes as a natural step in a relationship. No cheating, no drama, just the end. And what I really love about it is how it perfectly captures the feeling of helplessness after a breakup. Nothing to do but wait for the pain to pass. My first breakup happened in a Pret in Holborn while I was eating a ham and cheese toastie, and all I could think about as my ex was talking about us needing more solo time for ourselves was, but I don't want this. What do I do now? How can you make this decision? How does this feeling of numbness go away?"
Oh, the toastie. I love that email. Thank you so much, B. That's really nice that you shared that. Yeah, I'm still listening to Lord loads, so.
Same here.
It's great fun. The first thing we're going to talk about this week is Netflix's GLOW, which is an acronym for The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It's a show within a show, a comedy drama following the people behind the women's wrestling program that was a real 80s television hit. It stars Alison Brie as a jaded, struggling actress looking for more exciting roles. and Marc Maron as her testy, arrogant director with, quote, a moustache full of coke. Which I think gives you the kind of sense of the comedy element to this series. So this landed on Netflix last Friday, and I've powered through maybe 3 episodes over the weekend.
Yeah, I did 5, I think.
That was
the length of 2 train journeys.
Oh, great.
For me, so yeah.
Well, this is a boring piece of analysis, but I like the length of them, because Netflix, I think often, because they don't have these like constraints that major television channels have, they often just like go for really random lengths. Like Orange is the New Black can vary between like 40 minutes and something much, much
and
longer,
90
right?
90 sometimes, yeah.
And I like that these are pretty much 29 to 31 minutes every time. I find it like a very digestible half hour long comedy, and I really like that.
Yes, I agree. And I also think the way that they have, even though they don't need to because it's a, you know, bingeable box set all available at the same time, they end each episode on a kind of question mark. You know, someone will suddenly say something or a revelation will happen and then it'll be like credits.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I like that it's still tightly structured, even though the kind of broadcast schedule constraints don't require that.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. And this series opens with something that I think is just such a trope, and I do want to write about this at some point, with Alison Brie's character like talking to camera in this really impassioned way, and then and there's like a slow tracking zoom out and you realise that she's auditioning, which happened like a lot in La La Land. But I think the opening moment of La La Land after the song is Emma Stone being like, oh, you should have been there, like pretending she's on the phone, and you think she really is on the phone, and then you realise she's just practicing her lines, that she's got like a script underneath her. So yeah, basically Alison Brie is auditioning and she's reading this really exciting part, and then you realise that she's actually reading the wrong part in this audition and she's doing the man, and then they're like, could you redo it as the woman, and she's like, sir, your wife is online too, and that's her like only line. So I think that just gives you a bit of context as to like why this actress would want to do, like, she thinks of herself as quite a serious actress, why she would want to do this wrestling program, because there's all these parts of just rubbish and very thin, and she feels like she's exhausted auditioning for them. And I think that's quite a good way of kind of selling the audience on this program, because if you said to me like, oh, do you want to watch this program about like 80s women wrestlers, I'd probably be like, no. And I like that you're kind of from the beginning meant to be like, look, this is a really sexist world, this is like her one opportunity to do something really, really fun and like out there and weird, and yeah, they kind of bring you along with it in that way.
Yeah, so she goes to an audition that she doesn't know is for GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, but decides to stay once she does know that. And then once the eventual cast is picked, I had a feeling that it's almost a bit like the beginning of a superhero movie, where it's like everyone's a misfit, everyone's here for different difficult reasons, but they form a team and like fight together.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Breakfast Club, but with spandex.
Yes, yes, very good. And that my superhero feeling was enhanced in a subsequent episode when they start working on everyone's like wrestling persona.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're going to be the like all-American one, you're going to be the slightly racist, yeah, oriental stereotypes one.
Yeah, or like, you look Indian, so I'm going to make you an evil Arab.
Yeah.
And the woman's like, that's not even my ethnicity, but fine. Yeah, because it is this sort of show within a show thing, you do get quite a lot of that like meta commentary on like stereotyping in the media or whatever, which is, you know, quite enjoyable. If sometimes I think Netflix can go a bit overboard and they're like gif-able moments, or like, yes, gonna tweet these and make a comment on TV, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so by and large I really enjoyed this show. Like, I really like the soundtrack, they've used a lot of 80s music and so on. You know, it's got a really impeccable female cast.
Yeah,
I think I really liked, we didn't mention actually, Betty Tilpin plays Debbie, who's at the beginning Ruth's best friend, and then I don't necessarily want to spoil it for you, but some stuff goes down and then they can't bear to be in the same room as each other, but they both end up cast on this wrestling show.
Yeah, and there's this great moment where the director's like, don't worry, the devil gets all the best lines to Alison Brie's character, which I like. But yeah, I agree, the whole cast is really, really great. I had a moment where I realised, so the girl that she's sort of sat next to in the audition, who later gets cast as this sort of like weird stereotype of an Islamic terrorist, is also in Search Party for a very, very short moment.
Oh, is she? Yeah. I'm not sure I've seen her.
Yeah, well, we'll chat, we'll catch up on that. Yeah, and there's just loads of like great fun sort of minor characters. So there's a character called Melrose, who's like this rich, entitled, like party, bratty girl. I really like the acting from the actress. It's so over the top, but it really, really works. And then you've also got Kate Nash just like hanging around in the background, like British singer-songwriter Kate Nash, just like doing her like intense Cockney accent that she does. And I, yeah, just find it really, really fun. Like, as you say, this like big ragtag group of misfits just kind of like soldiering along together. It's really good fun.
And there's some moments of utter weirdness. So the character of Sheila, is that her name?
Yeah. Sheila the She-Wolf.
The She-Wolf, who I don't feel I've fully got her story down yet, five episodes in, but she wears this, you know, like panda-esque eye makeup and a big like black wig at all times. Not when she's in wrestling character, just, you know, in life. And then, I don't know if you've got to this bit, but later they move them all into a motel by the gym so they can like work all the time to film the show. And they all have to share rooms, and Ruth has to share with Sheila.
That's so fun.
And they have all kinds of adventures in personal space where Sheila hates being around other people. And she does things like put a dead squirrel in Ruth's bed in the hope that that will make her go away.
God, grim. Yeah, I really like how, because all the promotional materials for this show has been like glitter, gold stuff, like neon lighting, really colourful spandex. But the actual vibe of the show, because it's all about the backstage building up to this show going on air, you don't actually see any proper televised wrestling apart from in like a fantasy sequence, or certainly as far as I've got anyway.
There's one bit in a later episode where they go and watch some like real men wrestling.
Right.
To basically to try and, because Debbie's really struggling to understand what the hell she's supposed to do. So I've forgotten her name, but the character whose dad is like a really famous wrestler.
Yeah, Legacy.
She's like, well, come with me to an actual wrestling match and I'll show you what you're missing.
Yeah.
So you see that, but even then you see more of like the women in the audience and the general like grime and stuff of the venue where they are, as opposed to making it look
So I think they've really like actually quite deliberately gone away from the glitz and glamour of the actual wrestling. And you do spend most of your time in this like kind of dingy gym or kind of dingy motel. Mm. And I think it's nice for me that they've brought some of the like camp spirit and the theatricality of that wrestling genre just into the characters. So you do have like this woman who's like thinks she's part wolf.
Mm.
And you do still get all the fun, over the top 80s camp, big moustaches, ridiculous clothes, but it's just done in a way that's way less OTT all the time than it might be if you were just like constantly watching them wrestle.
Yeah, I was reading an article on Screen Rant as well, actually, because I know very little about wrestling, particularly the history of wrestling.
Mm.
And this article was outlining all of the like internal references to real life.
Oh, that's fun.
Wrestling. So one of the characters, the woman who plays Mama Welfare, I think they call her, she's an actual wrestler.
Yeah, she's a real wrestler. That's so cool.
And there have been loads of cameos already by people actually involved in that world. So I think if you are a wrestling fan, it has like an extra layer for you.
That's great. Yeah, I think really a lot of the like characters are actually not that far away from real wrestling characters from the real glow. So that's quite fun too. But yeah, it's very, I would say very like lighthearted viewing, funny, easy to watch, and I would definitely recommend it.
Now we're going to talk about Fantasies, which is an anthology web series from the digital video network Fullscreen, in which fan fiction about internet stars is brought to life. The first two episodes feature YouTube stars Grace Helbig and Trey Melvin, and it's hosted by the YouTuber Drew Monson.
Yeah, so we came across this because we read an Amanda Hess piece in the New York Times, right? I don't think we would have come across this otherwise.
No, and we'll link you to that piece because I think she does a really good job of unpacking the like meta media narrative around why such a thing has been made at all.
Yeah, because there's quite a lot going on. They're only like, so that we've seen two episodes of this web series, they're 7 minutes long. You watch them on this website called Fullscreen and you have to sign up for a free trial and blah, blah, blah. They have this kind of framing narrative of these YouTubers, and then it goes into this weird sort of parody OTT drama thing, right?
Yeah, so Drew Monson plays a sprite from the weird internet, it's called. And each one starts with him in a different zany scenario in which he wants something to watch.
Mm.
And then he turns on a TV and it like zooms into the TV, and then you're, so you've gone like in two levels essentially, mm-hmm. and then you're watching. So in the first one, it's based on a piece of fan fiction about the YouTubers Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart, who a load of fans ship, even though they're not like publicly a couple or anything. And this fan fiction is set in a hospital where one of them's a patient and the other one's a doctor, mm. and, you know, a romance blossoms.
Yeah, except it doesn't.
Except it doesn't, because this is the thing. And Amanda Hess does a really good job of deconstructing this, because the fanfic that they are basing on, I feel like, deals in a lot of very classic fic tropes. And, you know, people enjoy it for what it is. Mm. But what this series has done is taken it out of context, flattened it into a weird like sketch parody tone, and then filmed that for 6 minutes and put it online.
I find it hard to tell like where the jokes begin and end with this show. I don't know if you had a similar.
Yes. Also, I'm just generally quite uncomfortable about the whole idea of, because people who write RPF or real person fic, and it's a massive thing in fandom, you know, people writing One Direction fanfic, people writing fictional stories about celebrity personas. I'm really uncomfortable about the idea of then taking that, which is not for the celebrities to read, it's for the people who write it and read it to enjoy, taking that and then making the celebrities read it out and going lol at the end doesn't feel very respectful or true to the original form of it.
But I get that it's difficult when you're talking about real people who can feel like their lives have been invaded way more than like a Star Wars fic might, but it still feels uncomfortable. It's a bit like that moment where Catelyn Moran made Benedict Cumberbatch read out Sherlock fic.
Yeah, and there've been several other examples of that. Oh, I think once Graham Norton did it to Daniel Radcliffe, actually. He made him read out Harry Potter fic. And it's a thing that like talk show hosts and stuff like to do, because their implicit assumption is, lol, this is badly written and has sex in it.
And we'll make the guest uncomfortable.
And it will make the guest uncomfortable, and that will be funny. And I actually think this web series is on the same spectrum of that.
Mm.
But there is an alternative point of view, which is, so the fic writers in question, whose work has been adapted for this, have been paid for their time and work. And apparently this series has grown out of the community that surrounds a platform called Wattpad.
Right, yeah, I know about Wattpad.
Wattpad being a fan fiction publishing platform that, for whatever reason, has had a larger contingent of RPF.
Yeah.
Than a lot of other, it has a lot of like celebrity fans are on
and
Wattpad.
All the teens are on it.
All the teens are on it. And also Wattpad, for a long time as a company, has had an explicit interest in, there's a kind of publishing journey now called like fan to pro, exemplified by someone like E.L. James, for instance, who started out writing Twilight fanfic, then wrote 50 Shades of Grey, now big selling professional author. And Wattpad explicitly wants to help people go on that journey. So they offer ways to turn your Wattpad fic into a self-published thing that you can put straight on Amazon. Like, as a technology, they want to facilitate that. So there is a sense that maybe if you're coming out of the Wattpad community, you are interested in turning your fic into work that you get recompensed for,
right,
and recognised for,
definitely,
beyond just the kind of amateur fan space.
Yeah, so it is legitimising in a way this work in one sense. But I agree that there's this difficult, because when you watch something like Garth Marenghi, which has this kind of, if I'm remembering Garth Marenghi right, I haven't watched it in years, but it has a similar kind of frame thing where you know that you're like watching supposedly like a badly written show, and that's part of the joke. That feels more comfortable when you know that the badly written thing isn't a real thing that someone has written. And I don't know to what extent this really is very similar to the original fic and so on, but one thing that it made me think of in comparison is I've seen just like on Instagram and other social media platforms this web series called City Girl, which is,
oh, I've not heard of that.
This actress Sarah Ramos has found her old like TV script that she wrote at 12 or 13, and it's like, you know, oh, I'm the city girl, and it's like everything's pink everywhere, and she's like made it. You can tell that it's done with kind of respect and love for what she did as a young girl, and it's not, although it's a bit like, yeah, this is really funny that this was my idea of what like urban adult life would be, because it's just such a weird teenage fantasy, but at the same time it's not wholly mocking, it's still quite loving, and I really like that about it.
Yeah, I think the crucial difference there for me as well would be that she's using her own work. And there's no power imbalance. The thing that bothers me about fantasies is there's a sense of a power imbalance between the, you know, unknown in the wider TV world fic writer and these incredibly powerful YouTube stars who've got the backing of this network to make this thing. And I just think when there's a power imbalance, gently teasing and outright mocking start to look a lot like the same thing.
Yeah, where's the line? And maybe the people who wrote the original fic are just like, no, yeah, we love it. We think this is great. There's no power imbalance in our eyes.
But the other thing that I like led me to have questions about this is like, who is it for?
Yeah, is it for people who read and write fan fiction? I don't think it is.
Because it feels like a lot of the tropes that are, according to that Amanda Hess article, in the original fics that have been flattened out are things like the tender queer relationship, you know, so which are things that people who write fanfiction are generally really into. So I was like, who will watch this? Is this just for people like us who like to commentate on like meta media issues?
Maybe.
Who is actually enjoying this entertainment?
Lol. Well, guys, you can make up your own mind if you want to sign up to a free trial of Full Screen and then immediately cancel it like we did. Not that we condone that kind of behaviour.
I would also say that if you are generally interested in these kinds of things, our friends Elizabeth and Flourish make an excellent podcast called Fansplaining, where they have, for instance, interviewed someone from Wattpad about what Wattpad does and is for.
Yes, it's very good. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah. I feel like they would have better opinions about this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So last week, I recommended that Caroline watch Search Party, which is a kind of cross between a millennial comedy and a noirish thriller. We're really late to this because it was really popular in the US in maybe December of this year. But Caroline, what did you think?
I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, great.
So I've watched 4 episodes, I think. It stars Alia Shawkat, who I know best from playing maybe in Arrested Development. But I think this is the first time I've seen her in a fully adult role. And I think she's amazing.
Yeah, she's so captivating in it.
She's really good. She plays the central character of Dory, who is part of a slightly obnoxious Brooklyn-y set that we feel quite familiar with from shows like Girls and Broad City. And then in the first episode, she walks past a missing poster for a girl that she was at college with, but who she's had very little contact with. And she gets really obsessed with finding Chantel and gets drawn into the investigation and all kinds of slightly spooky things start happening. She tries to enlist her friends to help her find things like her. I've just watched the episode where her boyfriend tries to like stalk a suspect.
Oh, I and feel so sorry for him in that episode.
Nearly gets fired because of it and all this kind of stuff. I'm really hooked on it. I'm definitely going to keep going, I think.
Good. Has she gone into a shop yet with a necklace?
Yes.
And did she go back for the party they invited her
I
to yet?
I think that's in the next episode.
Okay, that's a great episode.
She's got the invite, but hasn't. I think the episode I just watched ended with her like super camp friend being like, that shop is like a cult.
Yeah. So then they go back to the shop. And I think that for me is when this show gets really, really good. Because while the mystery is like amped up a level, you also suddenly get a bit more character development. You think these characters are all like so super horrible. And the opening episode, like one of the very opening scenes is that they're all at brunch and you get these weird like out of context conversations. Basically these two blonde guys, like one's her like gay male blonde friend and one's her like kind of pretty, seemingly quite vapid, skinny, white blonde friend. And the two of them are kind of like telling a story about how they've obviously like bumped into someone they used to know in like a really extreme situation, but you don't really know what's going on. And the girl says something like, you know, I was like, I want to help you. I do. But like, call the police. Don't put this on me. I can't help you with this. And you're like, oh my God, who are these terrible people? And then when Dory says that Chantel is missing, the guy is just like, oh yeah, she's the one who used to brush her hair everywhere. And I was like, oh, sweetie, just brush your hair at home. You're like, oh my God, who are these people? And I love that dialogue. So you get this really, really like penetrating, piercing dialogue that is so funny. But then you also get this mystery element that ramps up. And what I like in that party episode is while everything's going completely batshit crazy, you also get these sort of weird moments where they're invited to go around the table and talk about themselves a bit, and you start to get a bit more insight into their lives. And the girl gets this moment where she like suddenly is like, oh, you know, it's weird because I really like girly stuff and I think people think that I'm stupid because I like girly stuff so much, but it's like, why can't I paint my nails? You know, I'm my own kind of smart. And she starts to well up and you're like, oh, this is actually really funny, but yeah, also quite unfair, like fair enough. Sure, you probably are your own kind of smart. Like, so I really like that they can give you more of these characters even when they're inviting you to laugh at them.
The other thing I'm interested to see how it develops is Dory's own motivation, because in thinking the four episodes I've seen so far, what's being hinted at is the reason why she's so driven in trying to find Chantel, someone who she barely knows and hasn't seen for years, is because she's so unsure about what to do with her own life. You know, she doesn't really have a job that she feels inspired by. She's working as a like dog's body assistant to a really rich woman, and you know, that's not something that she wants to do long term. Her relationship with her boyfriend seems a bit weird and on and off, and she just, you know, there's one scene where she goes for an interview for a teaching position and she doesn't get it, and the woman gives her some really harsh feedback and is like, we just read your application, we were like, we do not understand what this woman wants. And she nearly wells up and she's like, well, I just want someone to tell me something positive. Everyone's telling me what I can't do, but no one says you can do this. And the unspoken thing is, well, you're supposed to know that yourself. But she doesn't. So instead she pours everything into this investigation.
Yeah, it's so compelling to watch as well. There's nothing more fun than seeing someone just like get obsessed with something and trying to like figure it out, and you get to do that along with her. So it is really good fun. I also think she dresses amazingly.
I was just about to say that. Her literally everything she wears, I'm like, I would wear that.
It's so great. Yeah, she looks amazing. And she's got this like amazing sort of soft, open face, doesn't she? And she's like so inquisitive all the time. And yeah, I really love watching her like act. She's just great. But yeah, I'm excited to see how you get on with the rest, because it's just a real thrill ride.
Just as a total side note to this, Search Party is available on all four. I think it must have been shown on Channel 4 at some point. And it wasn't until we watched Loaded a couple of weeks ago that I'd actually gone back and tried to use the Channel 4 on-demand service, because I'd written it off as like, 4OD was terrible. 4OD so many times ruined my life. Can't use it.
We were talking about that, weren't we?
And
it's
now I'm like
improved.
Using their app all the time. And I'm like, this works. The ads just don't endlessly play on a loop. This is great.
So thanks again, all four, for just sorting that shit out. It's great. So what about next week? What are we going to do?
So we're going to skip a recommend a week, because in the 100th episode, there's no space for recommends because there's too much special exciting stuff happening. Then in episode 101, we'll be back with another one. And I think we're going to take up a suggestion from multiple listeners, including Sarah Hess, who wrote in, the writer of Orange is the New Black, who wrote in to recommend this. We're going to go for Happy Valley.
exciting. I want to like try and get through a good amount of it, so it's good that we've got the time to do that.
Yeah, so Happy Valley is a BBC police drama set in Yorkshire. I don't know much about it other than it's written by Sally Wainwright, who wrote a lot of other, you know, really good BBC dramas recently. Although including that Bronte thing that was on at Christmas that we didn't like so much.
Let's just let that slide.
But I want to rewatch that because I feel like maybe I was too tired.
I know loads of people were like, you were so harsh. Aren't you meant to be feminists? Enjoy this program. Lol, sorry. We were bored.
We were really tired. And it was like right before Christmas and everything was really busy. So maybe we didn't give it its full due. Maybe. If it appears on Netflix, I might give it another go.
Well, in the meantime, Happy Valley.
Happy Valley it is.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Seriously, the pop culture podcast from The New Statesman.
If you enjoyed the show, why not subscribe to make sure you never miss another episode? We're available in all the usual places you get podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, where you could also leave us a review if you'd like.
We've got lots of events coming up this summer, including festivals, live episodes and quizzes. Find out more and buy tickets at seriouslypod.com/events.
We're available many other places on the internet, including on Twitter, Facebook and Tumblr. We're SeriouslyPod on all of them.
We love getting your recommendations for things we should feature on the show or just hearing your thoughts on what we've discussed. Get in touch on social media or email us on seriouslypod@gmail.com.
And if you feel strongly that more pop culture needs to be taken seriously, spread the word and tell your friends and family about the podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.